Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie and find out more.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
The housing charity Peter McVerry Trust, which is currently the subject of a statutory investigation into its finances and governance, has confirmed it owes €8.3 million to revenue. The organisation said it used revenue scheme to warehouse PAYE tax debts during the COVID-19 crisis in 2020, 2021 and 2022. Well, for more on this story, we're joined by Jack Power, who is a reporter with the Irish Times. And Jack, you're welcome to the programme. As I say, the Peter McVerry Trust confirming it's in the process of repaying an €8.3 million tax debt to revenue. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, so the context to this is at the start of the summer this year, Peter McVerry disclosed to the Department of Housing and other kind of funders like the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive that it was having significant cash flow pressure. And so we were kind of aware that there was some financial issues going on in the charity. And that really, I think, has really escalated in recent weeks. I know last week, the executives of the charity wrote to the board effectively setting out serious concerns with the depletion of the homeless charity's finances. And we understand one of these issues is a significant revenue bill that the charity had warehoused its revenue POA tax obligations during COVID under a scheme revenue had put out to assist charities where they could warehouse the debt and then pay it off later. So this has kind of left the organization with this big bill now of €8 million that they've started paying off since last September. Now they have told me that they have been meeting all of their obligations in terms of the payments as they're falling due. But it's one part of the financial pressure and crisis the organisation is facing at the moment.
And earlier this week, then, the state's regulator for housing bodies appointed inspectors to carry out a statutory investigation into the trust.
Yeah, so this is the first investigation of its kind by this regulator. It regulates, you know, approved housing bodies, non-for-profit organisations like Peter McVerry. And so on foot of the notification earlier in the summer of cash flow issues, the regulator had been kind of on notice about this issue and looking into this issue. And then this week it announced that it was going to appoint statutory inspectors to investigate financial issues of concern in the charity. So we'll see, you know, that investigation may take some time and a report will likely be issued down the line. But I suppose more pressingly for the charity is its difficulty it's facing at the moment in terms of its cash on hand. I understand there's been serious high-level kind of crisis talks at the moment in terms of its precarious financial situation. And the Department of Housing and the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive are watching this kind of very closely in terms of whether there will be potentially a need for emergency funding to sustain the charity's expensive, you know, homeless services.
Just finally then, Jack, Father Peter McVerry spoke yesterday and put the financial problems down to being overstretched in recent years.
Yeah, so this is one thing that, you know, others in the homeless sector and other charities have said and commented on, that, you know, the Peter McVerry Trust has significantly expanded in recent years. It spent a lot acquiring properties, building up its property portfolio, and providing, you know, really one of the major planks of the state's response to homelessness services in terms of, you know, homeless, you know, night by night kind of shelter, other homeless initiatives like Housing First. So it's certainly, you know, no secret that the charity has significantly expanded in recent years. And I think Father Peter McVerry himself said potentially they overexpanded themselves in recent years.
Well, thank you both very much. Sorry, but thank you, Jack, for joining me this evening. That's Jack Power, reporter with the Irish Times.
Now, if you're trying to buy or sell a house, listen up, because the good news for buyers anyway is that residential property prices in the Dublin market have stabilised. That's according to the latest house price gauge from estate agents DNG. The report concludes that in the last 3 months, the average price of a house in the capital increased by 0.6%. For more on this, I'm joined by DNG's Director of Research, Paul Murgatroyd, who joins me on the line. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
Now, I feel when I'm discussing this that it's like discussing a roller coaster. So the stabilisation is the part where you come down and then there's a slow breathing space before you go up again. What's going on here?
What we're seeing in the markets at the moment is in the Dublin resale market, second-hand houses, prices increased by 0.6% on average, as you correctly stated. And in the year to September, the end of September now, we've seen an increase of just 0.4%. The reason the annual rate is lower than the last 3 months is because there was a drop in prices, a small drop in prices in the final quarter of last year. Mm-hmm. The 0.6% we're seeing now follows 0.6% in quarter two, 0.9% in quarter one this year. So there is no rapid house price inflation in the Dublin market, nor are prices falling. They're stabilising. They're levelling out, which, okay, as you quite rightly said, well, is,
I suppose,
good news
for buyers. That's after a period where the roller coaster went really, really quickly upwards. The average price of a home now in the capital, just to stay with Dublin for a second, Paul, what is it?
It's over 500,000. The D&G House Price Index, which has been running since 2000, records the average price every quarter and the movements in that, and it's now at €525,800. So nominal values are high. The values of homes in capital cities are high, mm-hmm, but they're not getting any higher at the moment.
Okay,
We have seen high rates of inflation like a year ago in the period to the end of Q2 2022. The annual rate was up near 9%. So that has fallen back to near zero over, mm-hmm, the course of the 12 months. You know, we've seen higher interest rates, a series of interest rate increases from the ECB. However, the problem still remains that demand is outstripping supply, yeah, even in the second-hand market. The amount of stock on the market is not sufficient to meet that demand. First-time buyers are still driving that demand in the second-hand market.
In a big way. That hasn't fallen back at all, according to your research, Paul, first-hand buyers.
That's right. First-time buyers, we have a large cohort of first-time buyers who are still active in the second-hand market. Now, you may think with all the schemes that are there for the new homes market to drive supply, such as the Help to Buy scheme, the First Homes Initiative, etc., that you would have seen a migration away from second-hand houses to new houses. Certainly, the buyer activity in the new homes market is strong, but it is remaining robust in the second-hand market. I think one of the key drivers of that this year, Cormac, has been the loosening of the macroprudential rules, whereby first-time buyers can now borrow four times their income level rather than the previous level of 3.5 times. So the factors like that are counterbalancing the increase in interest rates, which obviously impact affordability. Okay. But if you can borrow more on your income on a 4 times rather than 3 times, you know, that negates that.
That's really
interesting. So there's an uneasy balance there. An uneasy balance there in the market. There's various factors at play. Obviously, we're still seeing investors leave the market. We've seen, you know, medium-sized investors, not just the small landlord, the one-off, but those guys with maybe 3, 5, 7, 10 properties where interest rates have risen on their loans. And I know you've discussed this on the program recently.
Yeah. You're selling up, you say.
It's fine if you're making a loss maybe on one property, you could stomach it for 6 or 8 or 12 months. Mm-hmm. However, if that's multiplied by 5, that's the tipping point to say, I need out of this at the moment. I can't sustain.
Paul, is your research, and I hear your point on that, but is this your research today based on the Dublin market or is it nationwide? Yeah.
This quarter is the Dublin figures. In terms of the nationwide picture, prices are still, price increases are levelling out, but not at the same rate. So we're still getting, Dublin moves first and then nationwide tends to follow suit. So as prices accelerate in Dublin, then they start to accelerate nationwide. We're seeing that levelling of prices nationwide as well, but not quite to the same extent we've seen in Dublin.
Okay, well, look, still really strong demand as well, as you say. Let's see where the roller coaster brings us next. We'll talk again soon. D&G's Director of Research, Paul Murgatroyd. Thank you very much indeed.